Great. Well, morning, everyone, and great to be able to continue the series. And I trust that as Tim prayed, we embrace something whereby, because there is a real battle that can go on in all of our hearts, and where stuff just gets in and stops us taking hold of all that God wants us to take hold of. I'm louder than I need to be, but I don't know whether that's the case. There we go. Wouldn't want to be too much in everyone's face. So I really appreciated what Tim shared and the way he led us in praying, because I have to say, I know that on a personal level, if I'm not careful, unbelief, stuff that's gone on in my life can just begin to creep in. And I don't want to allow that. I don't want to allow the unbelief and cynicism and other stuff to rule in my heart. I want to welcome the fullness of who he is and enter into all that he has for me. And this morning, as Mark said, we're actually doing the last one in our series on This Is Good News. We've been thinking about the many facets of the good news. And I say we've been thinking about the many. We've been thinking about some of the many facets of the good news. There are so many more. And we've talked it a bit like a sort of multifaceted diamond, where we're able just to, you know, wherever you turn it, you go, wow. And then you look at another aspect, you go, wow. And this morning, we're going to think about another aspect. Today, we're considering the fact that when you come to Christ, you don't just get your sins forgiven. You don't just get reconciled to the Father. You don't just find that you have a new identity and purpose in him. You don't just get a freedom from fear and the promise of eternal life. That you get all those things, as we've heard about in our series so far. You also have available a new power source for living. And I want to talk this morning about power for living. It's interesting, when John the Baptist talked about the way he was creating, as it were, and pointing the way to, the one he was preparing the way for, he said, there's one coming who's more powerful than I, the sandals whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He says, I baptize you with water, but he says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And John could have talked about all sorts of things that Jesus was going to do. But what did he say? He said, there's one coming who's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is going to do. He's going to, what does baptize mean? Plunge, immerse you into the life of the Spirit. And what Jesus wants to do, and one of the things Jesus wants to do, is to plunge us into a life of the Spirit, to give us a power for living. In fact, Jesus said this when he was talking to his disciples. He said, John 16, verse 7, it is for your good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the advocate, or the good news version says, the helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And some people say, wouldn't it be amazing if Jesus was living on this earth today? Wouldn't it just be amazing? You know, imagine those people that lived 2,000 years ago when Jesus was living. Oh, what a privilege. And the truth is that actually, I say, no, I'd rather live today than 2,000 years ago. Because I think we live in the most privileged age. Why? Because when Jesus came, he could only ever be in one place at one time. So I might have been able to try and get close to him. I might have even become a follower of his. But for everyone that wasn't right up close and personal, he wasn't with them. Now, we have the privilege of having the presence of the Holy God living with us. He said, it's better that I go so that I can send him to you. What an awesome privilege that we live in the age of the Spirit. It was over 30 years ago now, I find that a bit shocking, that I learned to drive. And when I learned to drive, you know, it was probably, for those that were teaching me, which was my dad and my driving instructor, it was probably pretty traumatic, I guess. And, you know, they had to help me along and help me find my way and learn. I remember one time I was driving with my driving instructor, and I used to arrange that because I was at boarding school, that he would pick me up from my school on a Saturday lunchtime, and my lesson would start from school and it would end by the Oxford United football ground, so that I could then go and watch Oxford United, and it saved me a bus fare. Cost me the cost of a driving lesson, but but the danger with that was I always got a bit interested in which fans were where and who was there. And one time I was driving along and I saw a group of fans. I thought, is that Oxford fans or are they West Ham fans? Oh, I think they're West Ham fans. And before I knew it, he'd slammed on his automatic brakes because I totally lost track of what I was meant to be doing. And I was looking at the supporters rather than the road, and I would have gone into a bus. So I was very glad to have him beside me. And when I eventually passed my test, I remember that moment, the very first moment, they go, all right, you've passed your test. Go on, you can take the car out on your own. And the feeling of getting in the car and suddenly doing this on my own. It's like there was no one I could look to and go, wait a minute, there's a car coming, what shall I do? I remember it felt so different. And I want to say this morning that while it might be right that I can drive on my own without my sort of driving instructor or dad or whoever, we weren't created to do life on our own. And yet, too often we've come to just drive to live life without having the one that we're called to have and created to have right alongside us. He's the helper. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to show us how to live, to give us power to live. He doesn't want us to be left on our own. And I want to tell you, this is good news. This is good news for you. It's good news for me. And it's good news for your neighbor. And it's good news for my neighbor. It's good news for your work colleague. It's good news for your family member. People need someone with them. I've got a whole lot of friends who, just at the stage of life that we're at now, some of them are losing. I feel very privileged. My parents are both still alive, but a number of people are losing their parents. Their parents are dying, of my generation's parents. And it's interesting, as you talk and they talk about the effect that has on them. And suddenly it raises questions in them, because one of the things they say is, I could always just talk to them. I could always just go to them. They were always there to just be able to give me some advice. We can't always have our mums or our dads around, but we can have the helper, the Holy Spirit, with us all the time. And if you go to people and they're beginning to talk about you, if your neighbor loses a mum or a dad, it's a great opportunity to be able to say, you weren't made to do life on your own. You weren't made to do life just by yourself. You were made to do life with God, with his presence with you all the time by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus made it very clear in Acts 1, 4-5, he's died, he's risen again, he's about to ascend to heaven. And what does he say to the disciples? Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized, immersed, plunged into the Holy Spirit. He said, don't try and live this life in your own power. I've got the power for you to live by. He wasn't just saying, this is what you got to do. It's all about your determined self-will. He goes, no, I've shown you how to live. Now I'm going to give you the power to live that way. So five things that the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to do. The power of the Holy Spirit, number one, enables us to understand. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Where am I going here? Ephesians 3, verse 16 says this. I pray, Paul says, that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to understand who Jesus is. We begin to get to see exactly how wide and long and high and deep is his love. This morning, and this is a bit unusual because often Emma is up before me, but this morning I was got up, went into the bathroom, did my teeth, you don't want all the details, came back out and was going to go downstairs, but I needed my glasses and my laptop and a couple of other things that were on the side, and I was a bit like, it was dark, it was quarter past six, and trying to find my way. And Emma kindly says, you can put the light on if you like. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't take too much of an invitation. I put the light on, everything changed. Oh, there are my glasses, great. Now I've got that. Thanks, that's all I need. And I'm off. It was like the lights came on, everything. I could find my way, everything was simple after that. The Holy Spirit is the one who, as it were, turns the lights on, helps us to understand. Paul puts it this way when he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says this. And he says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to understand what he has freely given us. By his Spirit, we get the light turned on, as it were. Ah, now I see. And sometimes, you know, I can watch people working things out and having heard the message of Jesus year after year after year, and really, I'm just looking at it blankly and doing nothing with it. And then sometimes you watch and so you go, oh, the Holy Spirit suddenly turns the lights on for people. My sister grew up in a Christian home. She knew something and went on camps and she sort of understood the Christian message a bit. But it wasn't until she was in New Zealand as an adult, met someone from her past that she invited her on an Alpha course, decided to go on this Alpha course. And I remember her ringing me up to tell me that on one week in the Alpha course, it was like suddenly the lights had gone on. And she made a response. And she said, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. I understand what he's done for me. Right on the other side of the world when none of us are around, the Holy Spirit turns the lights on. Bang. Similarly, my foster brother, who grew up in our home, Michael. Michael and Katie lived with us from the age of 9 and 7, and they'd gone through some horrific stuff in their past. And Michael just could not cope with receiving any love in any way. And really, whatever love my parents tried to lavish on him just got thrown back in their face. And for 8 years or so, he made life in our home quite difficult. It was pretty hard. And, you know, he would occasionally sort of come to church. He would occasionally talk things through in terms of the gospel, but there was no response in any shape or form. One day, when I was back home for Christmas, and he was going to come back just briefly for Christmas, I went to pick him up from the station on Christmas Eve. And as I pick him up, I'm driving him home. He begins to tell me how the previous week he'd been in London walking along and he'd met a group of guys doing an open air. And someone stopped and talked with him. And he said, it was like suddenly I understood what you'd been talking about all these years. And I mean, I could hardly believe it. In fact, when I went back home and he said, and I gave my life to Jesus, I understood that he loved me and died for me. It was like, and I went back upstairs when I dropped home and it was late at night. I went, knocked on my mum and dad's bedroom. They were already in bed. But I thought, I've got to tell them. And they go, and my mum goes, are you sure? It was like, wow. It was like the Holy Spirit giving understanding. Suddenly, lights have gone on. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand. And maybe for some today, it's going to be the day. And the Holy Spirit's put the lights on. I understand that Jesus died, that I could not only be forgiven, but I could have the presence of God living with me, in me. What a privilege. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to understand. Secondly, the power of the Holy Spirit frees us from sin's power. Jesus didn't just die so that we could be forgiven. He died so that we could be freed from the power of sin. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to give us a greater power, a power that's greater than the power of sin or any other power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And when the power of the Holy Spirit's at work, you can be free. And if you've got all sorts of addictions and other stuff, those addictions no longer have to bind you and hold you. You can go free. Just as Samson. You know what happened? They tried to tie him up, but because the presence of God was on him, boom, couldn't hold him. The only time that didn't happen was when he allowed his hair to be cut and the presence of the Lord left him. And it's like, where's my power? I can't handle this. I can't do anything. The Holy Spirit enables us to be free. 50 years ago, this weekend, a 19-year-old woman got off the boat, she got on in England, and she made a commitment to God, I'll get on, I've got a one-way ticket, I'll get off when you tell me to get off. And Jackie Pullinger, who many of you will have read about and heard about, written a book called Chasing the Dragon, got off, and ended up living and has lived for the last 50 years and ministered for the last 50 years in the walled city, the most horrific place. And this year there's lots of celebrations because it's the 50-year anniversary of her getting off that boat and starting her work. Well, if you listen to Jackie Pullinger's story of how she's seen hundreds and thousands of people totally delivered and totally set free, her testimony would be it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. What no man could do, God could do. And so she just said, after a time, we realized the only way we were going to see these people set through was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she didn't just lead people to Christ and say, you can be forgiven for what you've done in the past. She gave them a hope and a power, which means they could live differently going forward. So what happens? They come to Christ. Says, yeah, you want to get free? You want to be off all your addictions of heroin and everything else? Okay. For 10 days, someone will be with you and will pray with you constantly for 10 days. And they had a rota, people for 4 hours, and they prayed in tongues, prayed in the Holy Spirit, and just prayed that they would be free. And they prayed for them to be filled with the Spirit so they could be speaking in tongues as well. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they'd break free, utterly free. Power of the Holy Spirit frees us from sin's power. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I had this sort of thought, so we're going to try a bit of a visual aid. I went to the party store and got 2 balloons. And the reality is, oh no, my thread, which was going to make sure, could someone just pull that thread? Is that right? Have you got it? Not the green thing, but the thread, if that's possible.
Are you talking? I'll sit down.
Yeah, thank you. The reality is, I'm getting lost here. Jesus comes and sets us free from the past. When he died on the cross, he set us free. So we can go completely free. But you know what? He didn't just set us free so that we then just remain totally bound and restricted by the law of sin and death. He set us free so that the law, the spirit of life, might begin to rule and work in our lives. So that... when he cut us free from the past, everything... Are you got something there? Good. This is just my thoughtfulness, you see, for the concern that we're not setting an alarm off in the future with a balloon that can't come down. That suddenly we can live in a whole new way. And I want to be someone who doesn't just know that I've been forgiven and set free from the past. I want to be someone who knows that I can live in the life of the Spirit, because this is the good news. This is what he's made available for us. We don't have to live in our power, our self-will. We can live in his power. The power of the Holy Spirit frees us from sin's power. Thirdly, the power of the Holy Spirit transforms us into the likeness of Jesus. Peter put it this way. He said, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. In other words, he's saying, whatever you face in life, he's given you his divine power, and it's enough. It's enough for you. It's enough for life, and it's enough for godliness, God-likeness, to live your life like God in the way he wants you to live. What a privilege. Our power's not enough for that. His divine power is enough. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul says, and we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What happens when the Spirit's at work in us? There's a work of transformation that's going on. We're being transformed into his image, into his likeness. What a privilege that we welcome his Spirit. We haven't just got to grit our teeth, go, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to do better. No, no, no. How are we going to do better next time? Not in our power, not through gritted teeth, but through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Paul wrote to the Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit, the effect of the Holy Spirit living in you and working in you is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What a way to live in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And fourthly, the power of the Holy Spirit empowers us to be his witnesses. Jesus made it very clear. Acts 1:8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what's it for? You'll receive the power of my Holy Spirit so you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. More than anything else at the moment as a church, the reason we've even done this series is because we absolutely recognize we're not called just to be a nice holy huddle who go, oh, this is nice for us. Isn't this that we've got some good news to take, good that we've got some good news to take hold of and live in the good of? We haven't just got good news for ourselves. We've been entrusted with this good news to share with others. We've been called now to be his witnesses. And Jesus says, don't try and do that in your power. Do it in my power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's why he says to wait. And they did wait. And at the start of Acts chapter 2, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Goes on to say, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely fantastic. And Peter, who, when he's originally with Jesus, goes, you know, Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. Never. He's so caught up in the presence of Jesus, he goes, how could I possibly deny you? Not a chance. And then what do we see? Suddenly, out of the presence of Jesus, you knew him, didn't you? You were with him when you were... No, not me. Three times, he denies him. But the amazing privilege is that on their, you know, the amazing thing that happens for Peter is he doesn't have to live outside of the presence of Jesus. Even though Jesus is going to ascend to heaven, he's told him to wait. And now he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and people are making fun and everything else. And he's not bothered. He's going, I'm going to tell you what you're seeing and what's going on. And I'm going to point you towards Jesus. Filled with a boldness and a power. Acts 4, verse 31, goes on to say, where they were meeting, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the result? And they spoke the word of God boldly. You know, as an individual and as a church leader, I guess I've been looking in a pretty, doing a bit of self-examination personally and where we're at as a church. And one of the things you will have heard us say is we feel really concerned in terms of the numbers of lives that we're seeing transformed and how much we're really seeing the gospel going out. I'm standing here this morning as someone who I think carries a fairly, and at this moment, an ever-increasing dissatisfaction with how we're seeing the gospel transforming other people's lives. A dissatisfaction with how much I'm seeing and sharing his gospel and seeing lives transformed. Now, that can have a negative effect, but it can have a positive effect. There can be a healthy dissatisfaction that God gives you that causes you to say, I'm not going to stay here. Yeah. As a church, we're beginning to want to say that and say that. And I have to say as an individual, I go, oh, I need more of your power. I need to be filled with more of your presence, more of your power, that every day I'm able to testify to you and be a witness for you in a way that people see you and are caught up with you. I want more of you. Because the good news is you've made your presence and power available to me. You told me not to go out in my own power. And yet, for many of us, we start trying to live life just on a very ordinary level and stop realizing that we're here for others. God loves it when we gather together. And as we gather together, we encounter his presence and his power. But most of all, it's not for what happens when we're together. It's for what happens when we're out there. And this morning, in a few minutes, we're going to look to him and ask him to fill us again with his presence, with his power. I trust that there'll be enough hunger in our hearts to say, not just enough for me, but for others. That we'd ask the Holy Spirit to activate some new gifts of the Spirit in our lives that we might be able to more effectively reach out to people and share his love and life with people around us. He empowers us to be his witnesses. And finally, the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to live a supernatural life. If I'd had time, I might have got Emma up just to give a bit of a testimony here, but probably haven't quite got time, so I'll summarize it in simple terms, her testimony. Well, my testimony is that I'm watching Emma, and I'm challenged by Emma's life at the moment. Because she's definitely caught hold of something in the last few weeks, couple of months, and is trying to step into something. So if you talk to her over this last week, she will have prayed for two or three people, but like completely random strangers that she's just going for something. She sees someone with a problem, a shop, someone at the counter or whatever, and she's just trying to pray for them. On our day off on Thursday, she was just talking through what was going on and the fact that I'm not seeing people being healed yet. I'm not seeing. And this was our processing as we talked around it. Because I think she's really caught something of God. She goes, I know God loves people and he wants to touch them and reveal his love as he touches them in all sorts of ways, through healing and other ways. And so I want to pray for people and I want to give God the chance to do something. But when you don't see something, it makes you want almost back off a little bit and retreat. And so, but she sort of basically said, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep on trying to go for it because I know that's what God wants. And I'm challenged by it. I'm stirred by it. And I was saying, I think, you know, when you don't see something, the enemy wants you to respond one way, which really is to retreat and go, oh, well, don't bother. The Holy Spirit, he's going to be pulling you in a different direction. No, keep going. Because even if it's the 20th person that you pray for that gets healed, and it's the first one that gets healed, you've pressed through, you've seen something. God wants to do something. And I'm loving watching Emma trying to have a go and step out. It's totally outside of our comfort zone. It's not anything that she can naturally do. It's totally dependent on the Lord. But she's trying to have a go. And I love that. Peter, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 10, talked about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. The truth is that everything is possible because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. And he's wanting, and that's why I loved what Tim was saying and calling us to, because there's a real battle of unbelief and everything else. And he's wanting to touch our hearts to embrace the fullness of what he has for us. Bill Johnson says this. He says, the odds of recovery change for every person in the hospital when you walk in with the presence of Jesus. The odds of recovery change for every person in the hospital when you walk in with the presence of Jesus. And sadly, we can have limited and lost sight of God's amazing power that's not just for our lives, but for others. People are looking for answers beyond the natural. You talk to many of your neighbors, they don't think that just in the natural they have all the answers to life. They're looking for answers, and we are called to be a supernatural people who are pointing to an almighty, all-powerful God who has the answers for life, has power to heal, wisdom to speak, knows the future, and is able to speak into people's lives. The challenge is many people are running into all the wrong places for those answers, and we're called to point people to the one who's got all the answers. There's a woman along our road who is great. Her and her husband are great. We get on with them very well. They've been here occasionally. I went to see them a few months ago. She said to me, Andy, I thought you'd like to know, I'm going to Lord's. So being a big cricket fan, I went, oh, really? And I was quite surprised because I hadn't realised she was into cricket, but she obviously realised I was into cricket, and she was telling me that, you know, she was going to watch cricket at Lord's. And then I realised, or she explained to me, no, not the cricket ground. Lord's. How do I say it? Lourdes. Lourdes. And she goes, I just want to go and see what people go there for and what it's all about and whether I might encounter something. And I suddenly go, do you know what? You're looking for something, aren't you? You're looking for answers beyond yourself. And we live in a world where people still deep down know that the answers do not lie in themselves, but beyond themselves. And the good news is that Jesus offers a power for every day. Jesus offers his presence for us to live by. I'm going to ask the musicians if they'd like to come back up. Paul said this. He said that the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And I have to say that today, I don't stand here as someone who goes, I've got all the power I need. I stand here as someone who is very aware of lots of weakness. And particularly, not just when I stand here, but when I go out there and I know that God's called me to reach out to people in all their different needs and all their different situations, more than ever, I feel aware of my weakness and the need for his power. But he says that his power is made perfect in my weakness. And this morning I want to take the opportunity to reach out to him and receive a fresh infilling of his power. I want to make it very clear to the Lord that I don't want to let unbelief or anything else rule and reign in my life. I don't want to live just in my own human ability, but I want to live in his power and his authority. I wonder if you'd like to stand with me, if you're able. And I asked Laura if initially we could do this song and these guys could just sing it over us while we take some time just to receive. And Laura would probably quite like to put a disclaimer at this point, because it's a very old traditional song, so it was my choice. She might not have gone for, oh yeah, I'll have that.
I have faith for this song.
I'm glad you have faith for this song, Laura. But there was a reason why I wanted to sing this song. That's because when you get to the last verse, it talks about, be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. And then a bit further on, it says, no work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. And this morning, I would love us as we, first of all, just to receive from him in faith. And allow the Holy Spirit to do something new in us and to activate stuff in our lives. Maybe to turn the lights on. Maybe to release gifts of healing. Maybe to give a fresh boldness so that wherever we go, we can share him boldly. Not to be bowed down by circumstances and situations that you think are too big, because no work is too hard for him. And after these guys have sung it over us and we've received, I'd love us to sing that final verse all together and make that statement. No work is too hard for him. Let's just stand in his presence. Lord God, right now, we thank you that you didn't just die for us, but you rose again and you promised to baptize us in your Holy Spirit, to plunge us into your presence and power. Thank you that our lives do not need to be defined by our own human weakness, but they can be defined by your Holy Spirit power. I pray for each and every one of us now, you'd help us to receive afresh that power, your divine power for life and for godliness. Breathe on us now, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, fill us, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How awesome!
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, Lord. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister His grace. No work too hard for Him. In faith receive from Him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Praise you, Lord. Right now, Lord God, I pray you would fill each and every one of us with that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry when we've settled for less. We're sorry when we've lived outside of your presence and power. But this morning, we welcome the fullness of your presence and the fullness of your power. We pray you would baptize us again in your Holy Spirit. Immerse us, plunge us into the life of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd activate new gifts of the Spirit in our lives, Lord God. Pray you'd cause a boldness to raise up within us. Pray you'd impart gifts of healing, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, working of miracles, Lord God. Pray you'd help us to step beyond just our own human power into your divine power. Just want to pray for a few people specifically as we just continue to receive from Him, and I really encourage you. He wants to breathe on us. He wants to impart more of His life, more of His love, more of His power into our lives. And there are some people here, and something this morning is stirring. You go, I do want to step more into His healing power, and I'd love my hands and my prayers to be used to see people healed and set free. And in many ways, everyone would have a slight desire for that, but there are some people you go, no, I really want to try and take a fresh step into that. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm going to pray for your hands that God's healing power would break out through your hands, even this week and through your life. Jesus. Lord, you see our hands lifted before you. There's no healing in ourselves humanly, Lord. Nothing. But we want to thank you that there's healing power in you. I pray this week where we go, you might give us a boldness to take steps of faith and to pray for people. And I pray that healing would be released through your people this week in Jesus' name. We reach out to you right now, Lord. Activate your healing through us into the world, we pray. And for some of us, we just want to be those that are bold enough and ready enough to not keep this good news to ourselves, but to confidently speak the good news wherever we go, whoever we're with, that it would be a way of life for us, that we would just step out in all the different times and point people to the one who is the hope for our world and for their lives. And I definitely want to grow in a greater boldness and a confidence, and I'm just going to place my hand on my lips, and maybe you want to do that where you are. If you want your tongue and your lips and your mouth to be used to share the good news of Jesus with a fresh confidence and a fresh boldness, then I just encourage you to place your hand on your lips now. And we're going to pray that God would anoint our lips and our words. By the power of the Holy Spirit right now, we pray, Lord God, for an anointing of your Holy Spirit to proclaim good news wherever we go, with whoever we're with. We pray you'd free us to speak with clarity and simplicity and hope and confidence, we pray. Lord, may many of us have the privilege this week of pointing people to you, of sharing your story and our story. And Lord, where our mouths have got zipped up, I pray there'd be a loosing again in Jesus' name and a freedom to speak the good news. And I just want to give an opportunity, because it may be that as we're praying and as we've invited the Holy Spirit to come and as I've been speaking this morning, that it's like the Holy Spirit has kicked into your heart and into your mind and turned the lights on, as it were. And suddenly you go, do you know what? I understand that Jesus didn't just die for me, but he's able to live in my life in an ongoing way by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I want him, and I want the fullness of what he wants to bring to my life. And it's been this morning like lights have suddenly gone on, and I understand in a new way, and I want to reach out and receive him in his fullness, in his power, in his love and forgiveness. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand now. And there may be a number of people. Thank you. Fantastic. Any others? Raise your hand so I can see it, if that's all right. Fantastic. Thank you. Any others? Well, Lord, I pray for these guys now, and I pray in the name of Jesus that as the lights have gone on a little bit, there would be a release to embrace all that you have done and all that you've made freely available to us, to walk in the goodness of who you are, in the fullness of your spirit, in the freedom of forgiveness, I pray. May this be a significant moment for them, Lord, where they step fully into all that you have for them, in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you've made possible for us. We honor you. We worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus, you'd help us all to live in the fullness of what you have for us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.